Nathan Dappin's dad has always loomed large. A really active guy, physically strong, he loved to camp and fish, and he had stories. Great adventure stories, almost too good to believe. Like the story about the time he canoed to Alaska. Nathan made a short documentary film about that story. It was true, by the way. We recently talked to Nathan and his dad about how stories become family lore and how they brought this one back to life.
As a kid, I loved listening to my parents tell stories about their adventures.
Check, check, 1, 2, 3. My name is Nate Dappin.
One story in particular captured my imagination. In 1974, my parents and my Uncle Andy built their own canoes, and against all advice, launched their boats into the Pacific to become some of the first people in modern history to paddle the Inside Passage.
It sort of was a larger-than-life story that I heard so many times that it became infused into the identity of who I saw my parents to be.
But as a kid, you never really get the whole story.
I don't remember that it was a story that I told lots. My name is Alan Dappin, and I'm actually a graduate of the University of Washington, class of 1979. So the first inklings of the urge to do this trip started as a deckhand when I worked for the Theophos Tugboat Company.
A cruise line that went up and down the Inside Passage. And during that summer, he really fell in love with the place.
And I was just totally struck by how beautiful the area was and really got an urge inside that I really wanted to be out there canoeing along the coastline.
He came back from that trip telling his younger brother, Andy, stories about how incredible it was. And that sort of planted the seed in their minds that they wanted to try and canoe this passage.
So we started writing letters to people that lived on the coastline, which is when I started getting lots of letters saying, this is a dangerous journey and don't do it.
Everyone we talked to said, you're crazy. You know, people go down in big boats on those waterways. What are you doing in a canoe?
There were a lot of letters that literally said, you will kill yourself, don't do it.
That was actually quite worrying. What really put us over the top was I finally was able to hear of someone who had actually canoed the Inland Passage. And I sent him a letter, and he wrote back a very spirited, definitely do it. So of all the letters I wrote, there was one response that said, do it. And it was the guy who had done it.
And then they kind of just, without knowing much about canoeing, but having a lot of experience camping, they built these canoes and spent an entire summer paddling up the Inside Passage.
The first start was kind of like music, drama, dom dom, and it's a beautiful day. You just get these feelings like, oh yeah, I gotta get a picture of this, I gotta get a picture of that. And of course, everybody's excited, there's a lot of jabbering. And it doesn't take many hours before all that quiets down and everybody's stroking away in quiet, just paddle, paddle.
So there were 8 of us total at the start.
My dad, my Uncle Andy.
My brother.
My mom.
My girlfriend, now wife.
And then a handful of friends.
For almost 2 months, they paddled, fished, and camped through one of North America's wildest places. And it changed them. That's the story I heard growing up.
When I found out that they hadn't finished it, honestly, I was shocked because this was a story I'd heard my whole life, and I thought that I knew it very well. And it sort of opened up a can of worms in my mind as to what else I didn't know about this story. We were at my wedding, and my Uncle Andy and my dad were just talking about the trip, and my uncle was joking about how there was a mutiny in Ketchikan.
A mutiny? No, it's not. It wasn't a mutiny. No, I don't remember it as a mutiny. My brother might think of it that way. I don't know. I certainly don't think he thinks it was a mutiny.
I think in Andy's mind, he really wanted to finish the trip.
Dad and Andy explained that the original goal was to canoe all the way to Juneau, but they stopped in Ketchikan when the summer ended. There were still 300 miles to go.
The hardest thing was just getting enough time in all of our schedules to do it.
The first trip took us 6 months to put together, and this trip took us, you know, a few conversations on the phone and what's the ferry schedule and who's going to buy the tickets.
And then just ferry from Bellingham up to Ketchikan.
We're actually retracing at this very instant a route that we paddled 43 years ago.
When we arrived in Ketchikan, all of us were extremely excited to start paddling, but when we put our canoes into the water, it was pouring rain.
So the weather was miserable as we left out of Ketchikan, and somewhat scary water, fairly big waves, and some of them were breaking a little bit.
There are definitely points where you dip in between a swell and you'd lose view of each other.
Thinking, man, if those kids don't come up, there's no point in surviving. And you know, that's the end of life as you know it. So that was the only major scary moment for me.
For me, it kind of felt like a roller coaster, and I was having fun.
Well, see, that was what I was scared about, because Nathan thought it was a fun ride, and I could see it by the way he was acting, like, this is a lot of fun. And my thinking, he doesn't realize that one little mistake and you're dead, you know. So I wasn't so excited like he was. And that's one of the beauties of Nathan. He sees joy where I see danger.
But once that storm had passed, it became quite spectacular.
We paddled north as brothers, Ben and I in one canoe, and our dad and Andy in the other.
All around you is mist caught in pockets. Every so often, you'll hear the sounds of humpback whales surfacing. It's a place that's extremely rich with life.
It's a little bit like being in a cathedral and being in a state of awe of how beautiful it is, and then sharing it with some of the people who are the most valuable people for you on Earth was just incredible.
Most of the time with friends and family, you got a couple hours together for a dinner or on the holidays, and you're really just catching up. But on trips like this, you can kind of get past all that. And, you know, you talk about stupid stuff, you joke about nothing, lots of puns happen. You get into really deep conversations that are hard to get into when you're sort of on a timeline. For both my brother and I, we've always sort of seen our dad as kind of like superhero. And I haven't been on a big sort of trip with him in about a decade. So a lot of his strength, you know, and endurance that he had as a younger man are starting slowly to slip away. That was kind of hard to see.
It is hard to see your parents get old. We still remember our parents in a certain way. It's hard to wrestle with that, or when we realize, oh no, they really are past their prime. And unfortunately, when you're doing this, especially when you're with people like your own kids, you're kind of counting the days. It's one of those things like, oh no, two more days and they're going to leave. And oh no, one more day and they're going to leave. And I just had this, you're just one of those lousy feelings like, darn, you know, there they are. Like, I wish they weren't going, because there's still so much more fun. You just don't want those days to end.
We would have continued on with Dad and Andy if we could, but responsibilities at home were calling. And you know, something felt right about them finishing the journey on their own.
I was sad not to continue on with them, but proud of them for completing that journey.
We don't have another 43 years to get her done, so it's got to happen this time.
Nathan Dappin and his brother Ben ended their trip after 10 days, as planned. Dad Alan and Uncle Andy paddled the rest of the way to Juneau on their own, about another 200 miles. Nathan Dappin's film about their journey is called The Passage. You can find a link to it on our website, knksoundeffect.org.